Yesterday, we revisited the Thurston High School shooting of May 21, 1998, which saw the deaths of two students, gunman Kip Kinkle's parents, and the wounding of more than two dozen classmates. In today's segment, we look at how some survivors of the bloody incident have moved on in the 20 years since. KLCC's Brian Bull reports. A warning, this story features descriptions of violence and wounds that some listeners may find disturbing.
In 1999, Kip Kinkle was sentenced to four counts of first-degree murder and 26 counts of attempted murder. For many victims' families and survivors, Kinkle's 112-year sentence without parole brought some relief. But the echoes of Kinkle's attack still resonates to this day.
I am still defensive about school shootings, and I'm still affected when I hear about one.
For Jolene Liu, the shooting, or rather its ripple effects, changed her career path. She recalls the deluge of media on the working-class community of Springfield, especially the long row of satellite vans lining the street outside Thurston High.
Reporters will literally walk up to you, camera and face and everything, and start talking to you rather than asking you if you want to be talked to. Then I, about a year later, was set up by my boyfriend's mom to help another out-of-town reporter cover the trial. He wanted me to cold call survivors and introduce him before handing him the phone rather than asking them if they wanted to be interviewed, and I was not okay with that.
Those experiences made Liu change her mind about becoming a journalist. Now a mother of three still living in the area, Liu finds a therapeutic joy in her photography, a business she started 5 years ago.
I do weddings, and my favorite part of weddings are always the toasts. Because they're always the most emotional or the most funny, and you get the best natural reactions during the toast.
In trying to move on, Liu has done her best to gird herself whenever she and her kids go to see fireworks or concerts or any crowded place where loud popping noises can erupt at any given time. But she says her first real scare was when doctors informed her that her first child's due date was May 21st. 5 years to the day of the Thurston school shooting. She was relieved when the baby arrived on May 23rd instead.
In hindsight, it might have brought a little more joy and peace to the day rather than remembering the day so tragically every year.
These guys came through, started shooting, and had grenades and were just throwing them
around. The bloody legacy of Thurston has continued in school shootings that include Columbine, Sandy Hook, and more recently, Parkland, Florida.
Schools in the nearby area and a library to try and reunite with their children.
The March for Our Lives movement, which surged nationally in the weeks following, inspires another Thurston survivor, Bettina Lynn. She spoke at the Eugene rally in March.
I ask all of you here today to commit to this fight, to speak out, to put pressure on other members of our community, to run for office, to not back down in the face of opposition.
Lynn works as the executive senate coordinator at the University of Oregon. She was shot in the lower back by Kip Kinkle, with another bullet striking her foot. Nerve damage from that wound still affects her physically, and she still deals with PTSD from the Thurston shooting. But she finds joy and comfort in a four-legged friend.
My beautiful little varmint, Bacardi, who is part beagle, part corgi, and serves as both pet and sort of companion animal, sort of an emotional support animal.
That emotional support was lacking back when Lynn was still a student, she says. As much as she tried, she had a hard time feeling welcome back in the halls of Thurston High.
I would walk down hallways, and everywhere I was walking, I would consistently have lots of people staring at me. Not a lot of chatter or whispering, but people just staring at me and waiting for me to pass. It was very bizarre and very uncomfortable, like I was no longer part of my high school.
Lynn recalls when her history class showed a video on the Vietnam War. She was prepared to hear gunfire and see violent content. What she didn't anticipate was hearing popping sounds outside the building during the viewing.
My teacher stopped the video, looked at me, and said, "I hope that's not what I think it is." I left that class scared and triggered, and I found a hallway and cried for a while. And then I eventually found my way to the principal's office because I wanted to talk to somebody. The principal tried to convince me it was a car backfire and was very dismissive of my experience. That was it.
Lynn transferred to another school her senior year and graduated. She has since joined an online group of mass shooting survivors that's helped her find a sense of support and acceptance. And she's even inspired a new generation of activists back at Thurston.
20 years down the line, we're still deluding ourselves. Today that changes. Today we demand sensible gun control.
In this phone video, shot March 14th, Thurston High School junior Rio Samaniego talks to a group of classmates on campus representing March for Our Lives. He says Bettina Lynn's story and others bring up issues of gun control, school security, and mental health. But Samaniego says the school and Springfield community seem ambivalent about the tragic events of May 21st, 1998.
The way that they've chosen to remember these people doesn't necessarily inspire us, right? It's not something that tells us, you know, these people had lives. We just see two tiles on the memorial outside. That's pretty much it. That's why I'm interested in hosting a vigil, actually, on the anniversary of the shooting, to make sure that people, you know, do remember the people who had lives there, who were changed. You know, we don't talk about it nearly as much as we should.
Some survivors say they'll go to Thurston High on the 20th anniversary to remember those who died or were wounded. A few say they'll hold more private ceremonies, including one critically wounded survivor who came off the operating table, rose to their feet, and literally reached for the stars.
1-0. And liftoff.
I'm currently working at the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. We build scientific instruments for spacecraft.
20 years ago, Tony Case was rushed to Sacred Heart Hospital with 3 bullets in his back and 1 in his leg. His intestines, lung, and appendix were hit and had lost a lot of blood. At one point, the doctors weighed amputating his leg.
Thankfully, my surgeon was on the side of let's not amputate and see how it goes. So he left the leg on, and I can still run, I can still bike, I can still ski, and I can do all of those things with very little impediment at this point. I walk with a little bit of a limp, but most of the times it's not even noticeable.
Case lives in Massachusetts now, where he continues to develop technology for space vehicles. He's witnessed many of his projects launch from Cape Canaveral. He's currently a team member on the Parker Solar Probe, which launches in July.
We are building an instrument, much like other instruments that make measurements near Earth, but we're building it out of new materials that are able to get extremely hot, and we're flying very close to the sun's surface in order to measure particles in a new environment.
Case says he doesn't dwell much on the Thurston shooting or the motivations of Kip Kinkle on that day, but he does mark the occasion with those who helped him survive.
I've actually become really good friends with the surgeon and anesthesiologist that worked on me. And every May 21st, we at least send around an email between my parents, me, my doctors, all of us just sort of saying thank you to the doctors, mostly, for giving me a second chance at life.
And while Kip Kinkle's parents were among the first victims, their memory and names survive in a way friends think they would have appreciated. Every year since the shooting, the Bill and Faith Kinkle Scholarship is awarded to 4 qualified students who study foreign languages. Gladys Campbell and Ray LaMarche are former Spanish teachers who are involved with the scholarship.
I would read a short description of the formation of that scholarship in honor of the Spanish teachers that died in a horrific event.
It does allow us to remember 2 good friends of students. They were beautiful people. They were great people.
If you saw them, you were like immediate friends. They were just kind and open.
Nearly 70 scholarships have been awarded to date, totaling roughly $35,000. But Campbell adds the scholarships funds are dwindling. Many teachers who used to contribute through payroll deductions have retired. Springfield educators hope to keep the scholarship alive to further the mission and memory of Bill and Faith Kinkle. Brian Bull, KLCC News.